mean, for the amount of time that whoever is responsible drove, or however they got the bodies there, however long it took them to dig, you know, and cover them up, you have to think somebody saw something, someone somewhere knows something.
Nearly a decade after police uncovered one of the city's biggest mysteries, in 2009, a woman walking her dog near today's scene at 118th Street and Dennis Chavis found a bone.
The mystery of the West Mesa women now officially stretches into a second decade. Community members held a ceremony this week to honor the 11 women and one unborn baby found buried in a mass grave on the west side of the city exactly 10 years ago.
It's never been cold. It's never something that's been put up on the shelf.
I believe there's more women up there.
Between 2001 and 2006, an alarming number, at least an alarming number to those who were paying attention, of women were going missing from the streets of Albuquerque. There were at least 17 women estimated to have gone missing during that time period. In 2009, the remains of 11 women and one child were found on the mesa to the west of the city limits. No arrests have ever been made, and only a handful of persons of interest have ever been named. It is the largest unsolved murder case in New Mexico. It is also the work of a serial killer. Many believe that there are still remains of at least six women somewhere on the mesa. My name is Tierna Unruh-Enos. I'm a local journalist in Albuquerque who's followed and worked on the case of the West Mesa murders in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Christine Ross moved to the west side of Albuquerque in 2007. She bought a home in one of the brand new developments near 118th Street on the West Mesa. She would often take her dog Ruka for walks in the open area across the street from her house, as many people did in the neighborhood. Christine Ross has since moved from Albuquerque to Arizona. I spoke with her on the phone to talk about her experience in finding the bones.
It's a housing development and there was brick around it. But, you know, over the years, people have knocked down the brick, vandalized it, and, you know, to get access to that area so people would walk their dog in there. You know, I walked the dog in there. I let the dog off the leash. She found it. You know, she didn't have to dig because it was sticking out of the ground. So she sniffed it. You know, I came upon it, took the picture, sent it to my sister, and We went home, we left the area, we made it a marker. I think we found a stick or a pole or something to tell us, hey, that's where we found it. Went back to our house to call the police.
How did you know that maybe something was different about this bone?
Well, you know, I grew up around a lot of people who are in the medical field. So my dad, my mom, my sister, my brothers, you know, and we see pictures of anatomy all over the place in our house. So, you know, I grew up around that. When I came on that bone, I knew it looked familiar. I've seen pictures of a femur bone before. So, you know, you come up on it and you don't think it can be human, you know, because of all the animals out there. So, of course, I needed validation, so I took a picture and I sent it to my sister, who's the nurse, and she's like, oh my God, that definitely looks like a femur bone. You need to call police. So, you know, that's what I did, and lo and behold, 3 days later, you know, it opened this giant can of worms.
The can of worms ended up becoming the largest crime scene in Albuquerque's history. Over the next 2 months, a horde of law enforcement and forensic investigators descended upon the open area across from Christine's house. Backhoes dug giant mounds of earth, excavating more than 40 cubic tons of dirt. Experts combed the dirt with shovels, rakes, and specialized equipment. No one had any idea just how big this mass grave would be. They would end up unearthing 11 sets of skeletal remains of women, including one woman who was pregnant. Investigators had to handle any remains found with the utmost care. Any piece of evidence could be used in identifying one of the victims or hold a clue about who the killer might be. Every piece of evidence needed to be preserved because due to time and weather elements, only bones remain. There were no clues as to who the women were. After digging for 2.5 months, the final set of remains was found on February 25, 2009. The graves were shallow and roughly 20 to 30 feet apart, although some remains had been moved by the earth being disturbed during construction of the area for housing.
Still to that day, even when it's nighttime in that area, you can't see anything because it's pitch black. So would have somebody saw something, maybe headlights, for the amount of time that whoever is responsible drove or however they got the bodies there, however long it took them to dig, you know, and cover them up. You have to think somebody saw something, someone somewhere knows something.
According to the Albuquerque Police Department, the victims buried on the West Mesa were 26-year-old Victoria Chavez, who was the first victim to be identified by law enforcement. She was reported missing by her mother in 2005, and investigators list her death as being in the same year. The second victim identified was Michelle Valdez, who was 22 at the time of her death and pregnant. The remains of her unborn child were found with her as well. Valdez was reported missing by her father in 2005 and was identified by her dental records. 32-year-old Cinnamon Elks disappeared in the summer of 2004 and was the third victim to be identified. Investigators believe she was killed sometime between 2004 and 2005. Cinnamon was a mother of two and lived in the Albuquerque area. Sometime between 2004 and 2005, Julie Nieto was killed. The 24-year-old was the fourth victim to be identified. She had a 4-year-old son at the time of her disappearance, and she was last seen at her grandfather's house by her family, where she regularly stayed. Monica Candelaria was only 22 years old when she was killed and buried on the West Mesa. Albuquerque police report that she disappeared sometime between 2003 and 2005. Veronica Romero was the sixth victim to be identified. She was 28 when she was reported missing by her parents on February 15th of 2004. Investigators list her death sometime between 2004 and 2005. 24-year-old Doreen Marquez was a mother of two young girls when she disappeared in October of 2003. Family that spoke with media say that Doreen had only been involved with drugs for the last year of her life. Investigators believe that she was killed sometime between 2003 and 2005. 15-year-old Solania Edwards was the only African-American victim. She was also the only victim not from Albuquerque. Police traced Edwards back to Lawton, Oklahoma, where she had reportedly run away in 2003. The Office of the Medical Investigator identified her remains from dental records. Those records indicate she was killed sometime between 2004 and 2005. Using DNA evidence, forensic investigators were able to identify 24-year-old Virginia Cloven. Albuquerque police believe that she was killed sometime between 2004 and 2005. She was from a rural area just south of Albuquerque. Virginia's father reported her missing in October of 2004. 27-year-old Evelyn Salazar was the 10th victim to be identified. She was last seen leaving a family picnic in April of 2004, and she had one daughter. The 11th and final victim to be identified was Jamie Barella. She was just 15 years old, and she was reported missing in April of 2004. She was last seen leaving a family gathering in Albuquerque with her cousin, Evelyn Salazar, who was the 10th victim to be identified. Medical examiners and forensic experts have never released a cause of death for any of the victims. According to court records, most of the victims had a prior arrest record for various offenses such as drug abuse or prostitution. Many had been living transient lifestyles, coming and going from family homes for years. 15-year-old Jamie Barella was the only victim with no arrest record or known involvement in any of these crimes. Despite the lack of stability in their lives, many of the women were often in touch with their families, and while many were not reported missing right away, it wasn't due to neglect, rather a desperate hope that they might return. Julie Nieto was one of those many victims whose absence didn't go unnoticed by her family.
At first, I didn't believe anything. I just didn't want to. But then I kept having bad nightmares all the time about her falling into a hole. And then I wake up screaming and cold sweats and stuff. And then it was about a week or so. That's when I just started getting more nervous and more freaking out. I was at work, and for lunch, I went out to lunch and never went back because something was bothering me. Mm-hmm. I felt something was wrong. Putting up some posters up, and when by the time the next day I come, all the posters were torn down, and it, some, I don't know, who was it, a cop or somebody said it's against the law to do that. I couldn't do that.
You couldn't put up missing posters?
Mm-hmm. And we'd put them up on storefronts. We'd ask the people, can we put them in? Oh, yeah, you can. And we'd put them up on like trees or telephone poles, mm-hmm. and they said it's against the law. Because I get so much, like, when they found Julie, I was getting so much crank calls and so much, there were a lot of bad things on the phone calling me.
People would call you?
Yeah.
When she went missing or after
they found her? Word broke up. You give us $5,000, we'll tell you where, who killed her and stuff like that. Make sure you make it a money order or a money gram or something or a credit card that's untraceable. And then she was nothing but a slut. She deserved to die. And you get so much calls, and what kind of a mother are you to raise a kid like that? She deserved everything.
So now that we know who the victims were and when they were found, the question is, when did law enforcement notice there was a large number of women who had gone missing? How were they looking for them and who was looking for them? What was being done once investigators had a list of women that they were looking for?
I don't know if I trust anybody, but when I looked around, I saw pictures of all the girls on the wall. And I saw files on the desk with all pictures of girls that were missing.
Next time on the Mesa. The Mesa is a production of Periodista Productions and is produced by myself, with special thanks to Shadi Al-Rusan, Carolyn Carlson, and countless others. If you have any information about the West Mesa murders, please call the 118th Street Task Force at 1-877-765-8273. You can remain anonymous.